seated. Tell him you need him more than anything, more than the air you breathe. Nobody else will do, nothing else will do. The money will not do, the job will not do, the wife will not do. Talk to him. Jesus, it is you we need in this meeting, in this next 3 days. Oh yes, from today to Sunday, it's you we need. Nobody else will do, nothing else will do. Let your presence envelop this place. Let your presence envelop our hearts. Let your word come expressly from the throne room. Let our lives, oh God, have an encounter, fresh encounter with you, oh God, and let our lives be transformed and changed to become like you. For all this and many more you will do, we return the praise, the glory, the honor to you. In Jesus' name we have worshipped. Somebody shout a bigger amen. I want to thank God first and foremost for the privilege and the opportunity to stand before you. I don't want to tell you that it's not accident or happenstance. God, by His Spirit, has organized this meeting by Himself. You know, so we want to give God the praise and the glory for it, first and foremost. And I want to thank my very good friend. I call him the Reverend Seth Man. Amen. You know, I'm happy about him. And, you know when you like somebody. You know, thank you, sir, for all you do, for who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you put your hands together for our pastor? Amen. And his lovely wife in absentia. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege. Today I don't have much time. And of course, all the leaders, Pastor Drew, amen. I've always wanted to call him, but I keep forgetting. I say, Jesus, I hope you will not send me out of this place. And his lovely wife, Buki. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you. Amen. I'm Melvis. These are the people I know. Yeah, I mean, thank you so much. It's a privilege. Thank you for facilitating the journey and all you do for us to have this time. Now, I have about 25 minutes. And I want to do justice to it. To do that, I will restrict myself to my notes. So don't take me away. No, but I'm excited about this meeting. Something good will happen to you in Jesus' name. So while getting ready to pray for this meeting and all that, God just told me something about 5 things to kickstart this meeting. 5 things. Now, this is halftime renewal. And what is it about? You say, why this meeting? This whole weekend? What is the purpose of this meeting? Why are we gathered together again at the halftime? Now this is going to come, one, to build our expectation. It's going to come as a prophetic word to some people. It's going to answer some questions, you know, that you've been in your heart. And it goes to provide solution to critical problems. You know, so I want you to open your hearts and your mind. You know, so why are we here, you know, for this whole 3 days? Number one thing God wants us to do is to remember and to recall the first half of the year and say thank you. God wants us to remember and to recall all He has done for us in the first half of the year as we come together again as a congregation and tell Him thank you. We want to remember the good God has done and take time to reflect on His faithfulness in our church, in our families, in our ministries, in our homes, with our children, and together we want to say thank you. Psalm 105, verse 1 to 5. Very quick scripture. Psalm 105, verse 1 to 5. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous work. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. This is the verse. I'm coming to verse 5. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders, and the judgment of His mouth. Oh, somebody shout glory. So God is saying, remember the marvelous works which He has done. You want to remember. and say thank you. Every time we remember what God has done, we come into a heart of gratitude. A heart of gratitude. It said that there are two words, think and thank, come from the same root word, Latin root word. That is to say, if you can think, you can thank. If you think well enough, you will say thank you for all you have done. And God wants us in this meeting to come to say thank you. You may have not seen everything, but to say thank you. There is a link between grace, and I know this is the Grace Community Church. Grace, this is Surpassing Grace Assembly. There's a link between grace and gratitude. When you see the word grace, is the word charis, which talk about the benevolence, the kindness, the loving kindness, and the goodness, and the favor of God that God bestowed upon us. Charis. Now, so if grace comes from God, is when it comes from God, the blessing and the goodness come from God, it is called grace. But for man, when it goes from man, it is called gratitude. So what it means by that is that it is two sides of the same coin, and you cannot spend one side alone. So for all God has bestowed upon us, there is an expected and an appropriate response, which is gratitude. Whenever gratitude, the earth does not respond with gratitude, grace is cut off. So you see, charis, grace, and then eucharistian, which is thanksgiving or gratitude. Now, when the earth respond or the people respond with thanks, there is what we call the amplification of the glory and the presence of God in the midst of the people. So there is a manifest. God does not manifest everywhere. God manifests only where people reverence him and give him praise and glory. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So we are gathered together to give thank you. As we do that, you will see that the things that you are believing God for, they will all manifest into his fullness in the name of Jesus. Number two, this halftime, what have we come to do? We have come to reset and to recalibrate our goals and strategies. Halftime renewal. Halftime in various contexts, from sports to business to personal life, is a time, a critical and a crucial time for reflection and adjustment and refocusing. It's a critical time for reflection, for adjustment, for refocusing, so that we can reset and recalibrate our strategies and goal. In team sports, halftime is designated for players and coaches to analyze, you know, the first half, our performance in the first half. How's your life doing this first half? As is, you set goals at the beginning of the year. You made plans. How far? We come to dispassionately analyze them, you know, and then make adjustment in this first half as we prepare to go into the second half. This will allow for tactical recalibration and reset. Tactical recalibration and mental reset to address our shortcomings and then capitalize on our strength. Somebody say glory to God. So who's ready for reset? Who's ready to recalibrate? Amen. You know when you are driving, you know, GPS, and you pass, I was driving from Lagos Island to Yaba, and I passed my route. See, and, you know, those, we were recalibrating. So if you know that you have overshoot, you need to recalibrate. If not, I mean, so if you want to get to a destination, I mean, that day I would have found myself in a mode of me. So we had to recalibrate. It wasn't funny. Somebody's going to recalibrate this weekend in the name of Jesus. third point is halftime is a time to recharge, to refuel, to rejuvenate, and to experience renewal. It's a time to recharge, to refuel, to rejuvenate, and to experience renewal. You know, we are here this next 3 days to wait on the Lord and on His word, to experience refreshing and reinvigoration and renewal. Isaiah 40 from verse 27 to 31. A very popular scripture, but I want you to see something God showed me, and it's for somebody in this place today. By the way, I'll communicate that, but look at this. Look at this. It says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my claim is passed over by the Lord?" Now, keep it here. I will take it step by step. Now, this is a question. You know, Isaiah is bringing forth that is pointing, like God is asking, you know, Israel, His people. Say, "Why do you say, O Jacob, that your way is hid from the Lord?" You know, that why is it that God is not seeing all these things that are happening to me? What is happening? You know, that this will say is a question doubting God's care and knowledge of your situation. You know, people are doubting God's care and knowledge of your situation. It's a challenge. They are challenging this perspective that God is not aware of the trial and the trouble that they pass through. Think at the end how they put it. "Why do you complain? My ways are hid from you. My cause is disregarded by God." You know, Israel is talking. A Christian is talking. "My ways are hid from you, and then you have disregarded my cause." You know, the NLT say, "Oh Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your trouble? Oh Israel, how can you say the God ignores your right? And the justice due you, he has escaped the notice of God." So people are complaining. They are talking. God does not seem to understand what I'm going through. See all the troubles I am going through. God does not seem to, you know, come to terms with my situations and my circumstances. Of course, if you live in Nigeria today, I mean, except God has shielded you and all that, you will come to understand that we are living in tough times. You know, I mean, we are living in perilous times, difficult times. So a lot of people are bearing the brunt of all of the government decisions and everything that is happening. In fact, they tell that on a daily basis, millions of people slide below poverty rate. You know, people living in less than $2, you know, a day, and people living at less than $1. Extreme poverty. You understand? So things are really, really tough, and some people are asking questions like this person. Now, look at the next verse and look at God's response. Some of that. No, say the next verse. "Do you not know?" God is talking. "Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding is unfathomable." So God began to answer, you know, oh, glory to God. God's understanding is unfathomable. And you know, three things fundamental about God that God says, he's aware. God is aware, one. God is not only that God is aware, God is able. You understand? And not only that God is able, God is available. Somebody say glory. God is aware. God is aware of everything that is happening to you and with you. Not only that God is aware, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. Not only that, God is available. Now, verse 31, which is the key that unlock that part. So you can see God respond. Now this is what God is expecting from every one of us. But those who hope in the Lord, you know, now the scripture, my new King James authorized to read. Good. No, I want the old one, you know. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. I digest it. You can see, I still carry the hard copy. Everywhere I go. He said, look at, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run, they shall not be weary. They shall walk, they shall not faint. Now keep it here. Let me explain one or two things. This is the key that unlocked this entire passage. You are complaining. Things are tough. Things are hard. God has overlooked you. You know, God is not doing what he's supposed to do in your life and all of that. And God has said, listen, there is no problem with me and all that. You know, but what will bring the solution to the issues you face is to wait upon the Lord. They that wait, and that's why we have come. They that wait upon the Lord. Now, if you check the Hebrew word for that word, wait, it means kwavar. Kwavar means to wait for, to look for, to hope and to expect. Kwavar. To wait for, to look for, you know, to hope and to expect. Literally, in the literal context, kwavab means a binding together. You know, the way you make rope or cord, or woman, the way you braid your head. So there is a binding and an intertwining together. And you know, like the Bible says, the threefold cord shall not be easily broken. So the more the cord, the stronger you are. So God is expecting that in the waiting, you bind yourself together with him. So you don't know the beginning of your strength, you know, or the ending, because God takes over you. So that's the literal meaning of kwavar. The figurative meaning of kwavar is that you have earnest anticipation and expectation. A earnest anticipation and expectation. So they that wait, so God is expecting you to wait on him. And to wait on him in practical terms, what does it mean? You wait on the word of God. You wait in worship. You wait in prayer. You are waiting on the Lord, expecting the Lord to do what it says. Now it says, you know, that they shall renew their strength. So the reason why you see people make all those complaints and all of those talk is because they have become exhausted. You will see that even the weak shall faint, you know, and all of that. In fact, what weak was talking about the fact that they have exhausted their, they failed because they have lost inherent strength. Failing out of loss of inherent strength. See, strength is not physical. That's why if you read Ephesians, it was talking about in Ephesians chapter 3, you know, that he might strengthen you with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ will take permanent residence in your heart, that you've been rooted and grounded, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, the land, the bread, the dead, the heart, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled to the fullness, you know, of God. So he was talking about strength on the inside. The other one, weariness, talk about exhaustion. Exhaustion from, exhaustion. Weariness talk about exhaustion that comes from a hard life. You are completely drained. Now the solution to all of this, whether it is inherent strength that are dissipated or exhaustion from a hard life, is to wait on the Lord. Is to wait on the Lord. I mean, and you know, many people, they know, they have seen that they come to their end, they have lost their strength, they have felt exhaustion, but they still be running around instead of just wait on him. Can you just wait on him? Can you just wait on him? Now, that's the secret of the eagle when they gave the metaphor. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. What the eagle does is that the eagle, you know, come to understand the flow of the wind. So he waits permanently on the mountaintop, studying the movement of the wind. And by the time he waits, and he see the wind carries it and it takes up. With one flap, he moves higher up, and he goes on soaring and not flapping his feet. Every other bird flap. Eagle does not expend energy because he waits on the Lord. And because he waits on the Lord, he can soar to higher heights with majestic grandeur and beauty that is incomparable. That is who you are sharper. Somebody say glory. So God is telling you, come back. It's time to wait upon me. So when we come together like this, our strength is renewed in the name of Jesus. The number 14 we want to see while we are gathering here together is to revisit and reinforce our foundation. To revisit and to reinforce. You can see I couldn't have coined this kind of things. You understand? I'm not that smart. No, I'm not that smart. No, I'm honest with you. Yes, sir. The Holy Ghost has to help you. You know? So to revisit means to go back to the basis. You know, to basis. What is it you believe? What is it you believe about the God's word? Do you still believe? This is the authoritative revelation, written revelation of God's word, which is infallible, inherent, and inspired. Do you believe it? That this is the word of the Lord. It does not just contain the words, some word of God. Those are some things we want to talk about. If you believe this word, there is an approach you will take. You know, I mean, like the Bible says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Wherefore, you take heed. Somebody say, take heed until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart. Taka, taka, taka. Oh, you know, I'm already excited. Until the day dawn. I'm winding up very soon. You see, you know what Peter said? You know, Peter was on the mountaintop. Peter encountered the excellent glory of God. Jesus took Peter and James and took them to the mountaintop. And then in that moment, Elijah, you know, Moses, who was the representative of the law, and Elijah showed up on the mountaintop, and all of them were pointing Jesus to the cross. While all of that beauty and excellent splendor, the Bible said the countenance of Jesus and his clothes shone. There was an excellent glory. And from there, as if that was not enough, there was a resounding voice from the throne of God validating that Jesus is the Son that they should hear him. Said, this is the Son of God, and hear ye him. So it was so beautiful and glorious. Have you ever experienced glory? To the extent that, can we just stay here? The troubles are too much. So Peter says, see, let's build a tabernacle. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. We will just hang around this place. Be yourself. Now, it was from that background and backdrop when Jesus died and rose again and Peter became an apostle, he was writing in 1 Peter and he said, we have a more sure word. That was a spectacular supernatural encounter. We have a more sure word. A more sure word. Now, when you use English adjectives, you see that more sure word means that you are comparing two things. We have a more sure word of prophecy, you know, so it was comparing that supernatural encounter with the word of God, the written word of God, as it is. You understand? So you see, we have a more sure word of prophecy, wherefore you take heed, pay close and careful attention to the word. Close and careful attention to the word. If I can kneel down like Apostle Paul, I beseech you, brethren, pay close and careful attention to the word. Listen, this word made us. Oh, I hope I will be able to share some of my testimonies. You know, so the word that you have put underneath your pillow or thrown somewhere, and it means that there was nothing about it. You know, wherefore we take it until the day dawn. And the day star rises in your heart. Listen, my good friend, this word will make you a star. In the name of Jesus. So we are revisiting our foundation. What does that mean? We are going back to the basis and we are reinforcing our foundation. What does that mean? We are strengthening our foundation. This is critical for several reasons. Number one, strong word-based foundation provides stability that helps Christian believers navigate life challenges. Solid foundation, which is the word foundation, help individual to withstand personal trials and pressure. Like a certain man said, you know, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, troubles will come, pressure will come. What is happening in Nigeria? Everybody is facing it. Whether you are APC or PDP, everybody, whether you voted, you didn't vote, whether you are a Christian, you are not a Christian. So the problem is not whether, you know, you are facing it. You know, I know you should read Mark 7, you know, and you were talking about, you will say, I hear this word of mine, do at them, I will liken to a man that built on the rock. So the winds came, the storm blew, and the waves, and it fell not because it was built on a rock. Now, rock solid foundation is the word foundation. And that's what we want to build our lives, our marriages, our home, the word of God. So no matter the challenges that come, after the challenges, you will still be standing. The problem is not the challenges. The problem is what have you built on. That's the truth. The problem is not the examination. Examination will come if we want to move forward or promoted. I mean, I've told people there are some exams. If you are ready and prepared, say, let even the devil mark it. Let it take you to hell to mark it. You understand? Anywhere they mark it, you will know that there is no way you will not pass. Yeah, that's how it is. So the problem is not exam. The problem is not test. Everybody will go through tests. At one time, somebody says either you are coming out of it or you are going towards it. Everybody will pass through it. So many Christians don't like this kind of truth. The unfortunate thing with this kind of denial is that when it happens to you, you'll be shocked. Bible says, be not, you know, if you are in the world, I mean, you will find tribulation. There is trouble in this world. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. In the name of Jesus. So strong foundations are essential to understand core doctrines that keep us staying rooted and grounded in faith. Core doctrines. And that is the problem of the church. I hope we'll be able to talk about some of them this weekend. I mean, the church today, if you are not careful, we have all become need-oriented. Oh, meet my need, my dad's need. So we are not bothered about doctrines. You know, doctrines are the things that stabilize you. Doctrines that are unshakable, unshiftable, you know, beliefs and value system, you know, that heaven and earth can move and shake. They cannot shake. But do you know that today, all of those things have been threatened? With open internet, the other day I just saw, somebody sent me a small video. What was it? AI is the true God. AI is the true God. And the megaphone, AI. AI is the true God. AI is the God we worship. AI, I'm telling you. Generations coming, if they don't understand the certainty of the things we believe and contend for it, you'll be shocked. Our children tomorrow will not even know the true God. Somebody say, God forbid. We got to contend. So we need to teach our churches and our people, you know, systematic theology and doctrine that they are grounded and stable. Listen, we are passed through everything. But you know what? You know, let everything happen. You are not going nowhere. We have made up our mind. That's why I like that song. I have decided. All those critics, they can go and die. No, can go and die. What's my problem with somebody who sang the song and says, tie headband? Is there anybody? To follow Jesus, I have decided. Hey. No turning back. No turning back. Oh my God. See, these things are non-negotiable. If you like, give me 1 billion, I lie. You understand? Jesus is all like God. He knows I know. You understand? You know? So we are not turning back from it. Lastly, because of time, it could equip believers to articulate and defend the faith and be effective witness of the gospel. So, solid foundation keep you strong and stable. The last one I will mention as we begin to close is to help us to receive all that the Father has for us. Listen, when Jesus died, he legally procured for us everything that we need for life and godliness. That is truth. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us. He's not going to bless us. He has blessed us. But you see, the issue there is that they are spiritual blessings. They are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what we call the legal aspect of our redemption. It is all done. It is finished. Nobody can add anything to it. Everything you need for life, for godliness, is done and provided for. However, you want to make it your own. Lambano. You want to seize it and make it your own. How do you do that? By the instrumentality of your faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. You see the connection? You don't have faith if you don't have the word. You say faith begins when the word of God or the will of God is known. You understand? So that is the foundation that will make us to enjoy the blessings that God has blessed us with. The last aspect of it is for us to receive grace, or what I say, to obtain mercy. Hebrews chapter, that's the scripture I'm closing with. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 16. Now, I want you to look at that scripture, because I'm closing with this scripture. We want to receive mercy and obtain mercy and find grace to help. Now, I like reading in context. Start from 13 and let's see. 14 now. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Look at what he's saying. Jesus has passed through the heavens. When Jesus woke up from the dead, Mary met him. She said, "Don't touch me. I've not been to your father and my father." Oh, something is happening here. What's happening? And the Bible says he passed through the heavens. When he passed through the heavens, he went into the presence of God. In the innermost court, there is what we call the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, you have what we call the mercy seat. And overshadowing the mercy seat are the two cherubim. The mercy, the lid, which is the mercy seat, when you remove it, you see the pot, the box that contain Aaron's rod that bordered and the Ten Commandments. Those are things that accuse us and all of that, but the mercy seat covers it. So when Jesus passed through the heavens into the Holy of Holies, Jesus took his blood and put on that mercy seat. And so every time God look at you, God have mercy on you. Yes. And so now the throne of God has turned from the throne of judgment to the throne of grace. That's why I say, seeing we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, the instruction he gave to us here, what we should do is that we should hold fast our confession. That word profession means homologia. Homologia means saying the same thing that he has said. Assenting the same thing, because he's our high priest, he will take our words and offer it before the Father. So if you wake up here now and the people around you say the country is hard, and you to say the country is hard, Jesus has nothing to work for you. You understand? So you want to be careful about your confession, the things you are saying. And this is ABCD of Christian faith. If you have nothing to say, positive or the word, shut up your mouth. There's nobody that says that you must talk. Nobody say, "Why are you silent? You must talk. You must talk." Like those, that rubbish I heard that there will be electoral art if you don't vote. Somebody say, "I gotta go to a prison that vote." You understand? Now, so hold fast, hold fast. When you say hold fast, what does it mean? Somebody somewhere want to take your confession. Satan mount guard and pressure on you to change the things you are saying. Everything that God has blessed you legally is there. But this is one of the ways we vitally experience and enjoy the things God has blessed us. So the next verse, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. What does that mean? He was tempted in all things yet without sin. That is to say, Jesus sympathizes and empathizes with us. Jesus is touched. Everything, every trouble, every trial you are going to touch Jesus. He feels you. He feels he has been there. See, when people don't go through anything, they are very arrogant and proud. They don't have compassion. But if you've been through stuff, you are very careful to be critical and judgmental when you see people go through things, because you see that God helped you in the days when you were down. You could see that you have perspective. So Jesus has been there, so he can be there to help us. Jesus wants to help us. He wants to go the extra mile to give us answer. But look at the next verse. It's not enough that Jesus empathizes and sympathizes with us. He said, let us therefore. Now the word therefore talks about something was there before, you know. So as a result of what has gone ahead, as a result of the fact that we have a high priest who is at the right hand of God, who feels and empathizes with us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace. Oh my God, where we will obtain mercy. Oh my God, obtain mercy. Somebody say mercy. Somebody shout mercy. Somebody shout mercy. Somebody shout mercy. For the next 3 days, God will show you mercy in the name of Jesus. I like this scripture. The Bible says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's the Lord that shows mercy. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So then, because of this, the outcome of our lives are determined by the mercy of God. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's the Lord that show mercy. May God show you mercy in the name of Jesus. Now the last part of it, that you may have obtained mercy. Now when you obtain mercy, gateway of grace is opened up to you, and find grace to help in times of need. In the midst of the many needs you have in this season, God is sending you grace in the name of Jesus. Grace is coming upon grace in your life in the name of Jesus. Grace is coming upon you to do the extraordinary in the name of Jesus. Bow down your head, talk to him. This is God's word for you. God gave him himself to give it to me to send it to you. Five things you must put in mind. As we come together for half of the year renewal, you want to say thank you, Jesus. You want to say thank you, Jesus. You want to come to a place where you reflect and recalibrate yourself. You want to come to a place where you wait upon him to recharge, refuel, rejuvenate, and experience genuine renewal. You want to come to a place where we revisit and reinforce our foundation, and want to come to a place where we receive the blessings of God and receive grace and mercy to meet every need. Father, this is your word. We receive it with thanksgiving. Thank you, oh God, because Surpassing Grace Assembly and every member of Surpassing Grace Assembly is a partaker. Your word does not return to you void. It accomplishes the reasons and the purpose for which you send it. Bless your word. Bless your people. Lord God, let this weekend be the weekend that they will testify, that they will never forget in their lifetime. Oh, do something that only you can do, and let all the praise, the glory, the honor be unto you. In Jesus' holy name, we are praying. God bless you.